Go, get your cross. She's gonna stop. Depart thou unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross upon both thy forehead and upon thy breast. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I cry to thee for this rowdy Paul Shesby, thy servant, who prays for the gift of thy baptism and desires thine eternal grace through spiritual regeneration. Receive him, Lord, as thou hast said. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it will be opened unto thee. So give now the good to him that asketh, and open the door to him that knocketh, that he may obtain the eternal blessing of this heavenly bath and receive the promised kingdom of thy grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, who according to thy righteous judgments didst condemn the unbelieving world through the flood, and in thy great mercy didst preserve believing Noah and his family, and who didst drown hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, and didst lead thy people Israel through the same on dry ground, thereby prefiguring this bath of thy baptism, which through baptism of thy dear child, our Lord Jesus Christ, hath consecrated and set apart the Jordan and all water as a salutary flood and a rich and full washing away of sin. We pray, therefore, the same thy groundless mercy, that thou wouldst graciously behold now rowdy Paul Shesby and bless him with true faith in thy spirit, so that by means of this saving flood, all that has been born in him from Adam, and which he himself hath added thereto, may be drowned in him and engulfed, and that he may be sundered from the number of the unbelieving, preserved, dry, and secure in the holy ark of Christendom, serve thy name at all times, fervent in spirit, joyful in hope, so that with all believers he may be made worthy to obtain the eternal life according to thy promises. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, we pray. I abjure thee, thou unclean spirit, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, to come out of this thy servant of Jesus Christ, rowdy Paul Shesby. Amen. Hear now the words of the gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But then Jesus, when he saw it, was much displeased, and saith unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I saith unto thee, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The Lord preserve thy coming in and thy going out from this time forth and forevermore. Rowdy Paul Chesby, dost thou renounce the devil? Yes. Loud. All his works?
Yes.
And all his ways?
Yes.
Dost thou believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes.
Dost thou believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born and suffered?
Yes.
Dost thou believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body after death and eternal life?
Yes.
Dost thou desire to be baptized?
Yes.
Good. Then I anoint thee with the oil of salvation to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Bring him down low. Rowdy Paul Chesby, I baptize thee in the name of the Father. I baptize thee in the name of the Son. And Rowdy, I baptize thee in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here you go. You can use that. Kind of keep him. Receive now the oil of the gospel of Jesus Christ to seal you unto the last day when Christ will take you to himself. Receive now this burning torch, which you will bring into the wedding feast of the Lamb. And receive now this garment of salvation that you will wear into the wedding feast of the Lamb as well. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace for now and forevermore. Amen. Has borne. I trust in him with all my heart. Now all my sorrow ceases. His words abide in peace impart. His blood from guilt releases. Free grace through him I now obtain. He washes me from every stain and pure I stand before him. All righteousness by works remain. The law brings condemnation. To righteousness by faith I gain. Christ's work is my salvation. That perfect sacrifice has paid the all-sufficient.
Jesus
Christ,
in him my hope
is anchored. My guilt, O Father, you have laid on Christ your Son, my Savior. Lord Jesus, you my debt have paid and gained for me God's favor. O Holy Spirit,
Spirit, font of grace, God in me, you I trace. In the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
The Lord is righteousness in all He has done to us, for we have not obeyed His commandments. Glorify your name, O Lord, and deal with us according to your great mercy. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. Let Mount Zion be glad, let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
The Lord is righteous in all that He has done to us, for we have not obeyed His commandments. Glorify your name, O Lord, and deal with us according to your great mercy.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high.
And on earth, peace and will for men. We praise Thee, we bless Thee, we worship Thee, we glorify Thee.
We give thanks to Thee for Thy O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, grant that your faithful people pardon in peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament lesson for this, the 20th Sunday after the Trinity, is written in the 55th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the first verse. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and why do you spend your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation who did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their meat in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The epistle lesson is written in the 5th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, beginning at the 15th verse. Look carefully then how you walk, not as the unwise, but as the wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Alleluia! Out of the depths I cry to thee, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Alleluia! Holy Gospel is written in the 22nd chapter of St. Matthew, beginning at the first verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Again, Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a marriage feast for his son. And he sent his servants to call those who were invited to the marriage feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, behold, I have made ready my dinner. My oxen and my fatted calves are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast of the marriage.' But they made light of it and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and murdered them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited are not worthy. Go, therefore, to the thoroughfares and invite into the marriage feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the streets and gathered as many as they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to look at the guests, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment on. And he said unto the man, 'Friend, how did you get here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said unto his attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand and redeem, no debt to pay, fully absorbed.
ashamed. Lord, I believe thy precious blood, which at the mercy seat of God pleads for the captive's liberty, was also shed in love for me. Lord, I believe this sinner's wrong, then sent upon the ocean's floor.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful. He brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." Earlier in chapter 26 of Matthew, we read how at the Last Supper, Jesus had dipped his hands with Judas into the bowl to show who would betray him. And Jesus had said that the Son of Man indeed goes just as is written of him. But woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born. And then Judas said to Jesus, "Is it I?" To which Jesus replied, "You have said it." Now, Judas is a problem, isn't he? Judas is a problem. It's really a conundrum, right? I mean, how do we resolve Judas, right? I mean, he's one of the 12 called by Christ directly. And is he not part of God's elect? His electus, those he elected? I mean, doesn't Jesus save all? I mean, how could Judas not be saved? How could he have taken his own life? How could he have renounced the truth of Jesus so completely, right? It's troubling, isn't it? Judas is so troubling, right? I mean, Jesus literally is his pastor. I mean, he's got the best pastor that ever existed, God himself. And yet, how is it that Judas does what Judas does? It's inexplicable. I mean, if it's true that faith comes from hearing and hearing comes from the Word of God, and Jesus is the Word of God made flesh, he is literally the second person of the Holy Trinity. He is the one of whom was in the beginning with the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God, and this is Jesus, right? We know this from John chapter 1. Then how is it that Judas did what he did? I mean, doesn't God want all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth as Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:4, of course he does. Of course he does. And Jesus had called Judas, had trained Judas, had taught Judas for 3 years. So how could Judas fail so spectacularly and tragically? Is Jesus a failure? And if Jesus is a failure, is it possible for any pastor to succeed with humans? Because we regular pastors are significantly weaker and significantly less talented than our Lord and Savior who died on a cross for us. Good questions, aren't they? Hard questions. In many ways, not easily resolvable questions, are they? Because Jesus says in today's gospel, a verse that is usually skipped over, because, you know, we usually spend all our time in the parables, because the parables are interesting. They're stories, right? A king has a, you know, banquet, and people won't come, so they, you know, and then they kill a bunch of servants, so that he retaliates on them, and then brings these people into the feast, and then somebody doesn't have a garment on, and he casts them into hell. I mean, that's where the people weep and wail and gnash their teeth. And so we spend all our time usually there, and then we ignore that last little verse. That little verse, the very end, we like to ignore that one. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. But you know, that verse, that's kind of like the fishbone in your throat, isn't it? It is mine. What does that mean? Many are called. Literally, if I translate it roughly from the Greek, it's many are to be called and few elected. The word is election. And from this verse, much of the doctrine of election, not completely, but a lot of the doctrine of election derives from this verse. Or deals, this verse certainly is dealt with in the doctrine of election. Right? And I remember in seminary, I was told by one of my professors, never preach on election. Never, ever do that. And I generally don't, except it's there, isn't it? And if it's there, it's got to be dealt with, doesn't it? I mean, I have to, by me ignoring it to you doesn't help you. Because you see it. You're not, you know, you can see it. You're not ignorant of it. You hear it. Yeah, election. Election is a hard issue, right? It's what Luther calls, it's a lot of election, you know, it's kind of like the question, this conundrum of why some and not others. Why some are saved and not others. Why some have faith and some don't. And this is what Luther calls the Deus absconditus, the dark God, the things that God chooses not to completely share with us. Why is this? And yet in the Lutheran Confessions, Martin Chemnitz, often called the second Martin, the one who really was the one who protected the Reformation against the Counter-Reformation, he deals with this directly. He directly addresses many are called, but few are chosen. And he says that this verse from Christ does not stem from the fact that God's call, which is made through his word, has the following meaning. Okay, this is not the meaning. That outwardly through the word that God does call people to his kingdom. However, in God's heart, he really doesn't mean that. He only means some, not all. And that's not what God means, says Chemnitz. No, because if that's what God meant, God would be contradicting himself. He would be saying one thing and meaning another. And God punishes us when we do that, does he not? He punishes us when we say A but mean B. Right? Then God would be dishonest like we are, because we're dishonest. But God's not dishonest. No. No, this notion is necessary. The necessary basis of comfort, he goes on to say, would be made completely uncertain and void if this were the truth. For we are daily reminded and encouraged that we are to learn and conclude what his will is towards us from God's word. And through this word, he works and calls us that we should affirm and not doubt what he affirms to us and promises. And for this reason, Christ causes his promises of the gospel not only to be offered in general, like God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? But that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. And how do we know that that's particular to us, though, and not general just to everybody? Right? And what Chemnitz writes is that God confirms this in particular to each one of us through his sacraments, and especially the sacrament that y'all just witnessed a few moments ago with young Rowdy, right? Baptism, holy baptism. Baptism is where I know and you know, where we know that we in particular have been saved, that the victory Christ achieves on his cross, that this artwork represents, that actually applies to me and you individually in particular, right? Remember, I was with a Marine chaplain one time. He's a Baptist guy. He asked me, he said, Brother William, he said, but when did you know, when were you saved? When were you born again? And I just like, I let that sit for a minute. And I said, well, I'll tell you, sir, I was saved on April 3rd, 1966 at about 10 in the morning. That's when I know I was born again. He kind of let that sort of percolate, and he started thinking and doing the math in his head. He said, you must have been about a month old. I said, that's right. I was a month old. That's where I know I was born again. Not because of my decisions or my words or my commitments, but because of Christ's commitments and decisions for me. And I told him, I said, Chaplain, I find a lot of comfort from that. A lot of comfort. Because I make decisions and I go back on my word, but Jesus Christ has never gone back on anything he said to anyone ever. Never, not once. And he won't go back on what he said today to Rowdy Paul Chesby either. Hope y'all know that. He won't. Because today, Jesus Christ made a decision for that little guy that was carried out a minute ago. You know, and I get it. I'm race 5, I know it. I know how you got to do that sometimes. Right? Therefore, when we don't think, therefore, when we doubt if we're elected by Christ, Christ in his mercy has given us two things to remind us that we are. And first is his word in general. And secondly is his word attached to earthly elements that we can get our minds around. That first one and the most important one initially is holy baptism. And then secondly, it's the Lord's Supper. For in holy baptism, we know we're born again of water and the Spirit. The old passes away and everything becomes new. And secondly, at the Lord's Supper, Jesus promises us that we are to come and take and eat his true body and take and drink the New Testament of his blood shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. And if our sins are forgiven, if they are washed away like hard-hearted Pharaoh in the Red Sea of God's death on the cross, God the Son's death on the cross, then there's nothing to separate us from God, because that's what our sin separates us from God. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And the same thing is true when we take communion. We are tasting and eating the forgiveness of our sins. Yes, Jesus does this to give us particular and individual certainty. And that's why he first points to baptism. And that's, you know, baptism is amazing. It's so wonderful. I don't know why we don't put more emphasis on it as a culture. Because God makes it very clear in his word, as in 1 Peter 3:21, that baptism doth save us. And the baptized have their sins washed away, Acts 22:16. Yes, whenever we see a person being baptized, as we saw a young rowdy, Paul Chesby, just a little while ago, this morning being baptized, we know that a person is being born again. Or if we see an elderly child being baptized, like old Nicodemus, who went to Jesus at night and said, how can a man enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, you got to be born again of water and the Spirit. For unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Right? Right? John 3, verse 5. It's got to happen. Right? And to both the infant and the infant adult, what does Jesus say? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Yes. It's amazing, isn't it? And we know that infants can have faith. I know some doubt that, but they can. Because the Holy Scripture, again, never lies. And what does the Holy Scripture tell us about the faith of even the unborn? Well, the infant, St. John the Baptist, who was an infant in his mother's womb, leaped for joy at the presence of Jesus in the Virgin Mary's womb. So we know infants can have faith, even unborn ones. And that's why Jesus said, as I said to Nicodemus, you must be born again of water and the Spirit. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Right? It's a mystery. I can't understand it. That's the reason why the Greek word for the sacrament is mysterion, from which we get the English word mystery. In Latin, it's sacramentum, from which we get the English word sacrament. It's the same word. means the same thing. It means God doing something that we can't understand, but we know it's true. We know it's true. Because God doesn't lie, right? And so when we look at the water of baptism, I know it's easy to doubt it, to look at it and go, that's just simple water only. You know, what's the power of baptism, right? But we know that the power of baptism is not the water that indeed does these great things, but it is the Word of God connected to the water, the Word of God in the water indeed that does them. For without God's Word, the water is just simple water only. But with the Word of God connected to it, it is a gracious water of life. It's literally a regenesis. You know, we were just witnesses. We're privileged witnesses to watch Rowdy Paul Chesby being regenesis right before our eyes. I mean, how awesome is that? What a privilege that we could be here. I mean, we saw beneath water a transfiguration, even, if you will. It's amazing, this mysterion, right? And it has to happen. God has to do this to us. We cannot do this ourselves, right? See, we have to understand that we cannot by our own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ our Lord nor come to Him. But we have to be called by the gospel and enlightened by His gifts. In fact, that's what the ancient church, the ancient Christians, the one of the first few centuries, they called baptism enlightenment. Because the light of Christ, right? The phos tou theou, the light of God was coming into them through God's word connected to water. And Jesus is the light of the world, is He not? He is. He is. Which brings us full circle back to Judas, doesn't it? Poor Judas. What do we do with Judas? How do we understand his error? Well, his error wasn't that he betrayed Jesus. Because we do it all the time, don't we? Thought, word, deed, every single day. By what we do, by what we don't do. I mean, some of us, we'll all leave this service. Probably go to the reception, already start betraying him somehow, won't we? Either in our thoughts, our words, or our deeds. By what we do and by what we don't do. So it wasn't Judas's betrayal that was the problem, was it? What was it? It was Judas's refusal to receive the forgiveness of sins that God had for him in, through Christ and His Word, right? I mean, that was the problem, right? Jesus is the one who dies on the cross. He is the one who pays for our sins. He is the one through His payment of His own holy and precious blood who can say it is finished, that our sins are finished. But when Judas realized his error, what did he do? Instead of relying upon Jesus who hung on a cross for him, he hung himself. He sought to atone for his own sins through his own works. And salvation is by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Jesus Christ, by which we must be saved, Acts 4:12. Right? It is only Jesus who is the author and the protector, perfecter of our faith, rather, Hebrews 12, verse 2. That was Judas's error. That's why Jesus said it would be better for him if he had not been born. May we this day never make that error. And may we who vowed to raise up young Rowdy Paul Chesby in the faith, may we make sure that that truth is clear to him as he grows. Yeah? In the name of Jesus, amen.
To God. Away from the presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the Lord thy salvation and uphold me. Thank you.
Lord be with you. Lord Jesus, receive these gifts of the servants of thine altar and the preachment of thy holy word. In your name, O Lord, we pray. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's really an honor and a pleasure, as I said from the pulpit, to be here and to be privileged to get to help with the baptism. It's really great. I mean, Jesus is the one who really does the baptism. I just get to help a little bit. It's wonderful, and I'm really thankful to have Rowdy Paul Shesby here and that we all got to witness his entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Really, really awesome, and so great. It's great to have you. And there will be a reception after the service. In the fellowship hall, which is just straight across the breezeway, I'm reminded that there'll probably be cake there, so we want to go there and congratulate the family and be part of that for a while. That'd be nice. This afternoon at 3:30, there's going to be a reception at Concordia Lutheran Church, and that's their annual Harvest Home. And everybody here is certainly welcome and encouraged to come. It should be very nice and a good time of fellowship between our parishes and in the community as well. This week also, there's several other things in the Blue News here to note, especially Tuesday, there's council and elders, and this is an important meeting. So if you're on the elders or council, you need to be there at that meeting because the budgets will be discussed and kind of the final quarter of the year will be talked about and what needs to happen. So just you need to be there if you're on those things. We have some prayer requests today. One, I just want to remind you that we had a funeral for Doris Callies on Thursday, and so continue to pray for that family, the Faust and the Callies family, as they mourn Doris. And I know many of y'all were in this church knew Doris and loved her very much, so continue to pray for her family. Doug Rayner, one of our elders, asked that we pray, continue to pray for Becca Steinbrecher. How do you pronounce that, Doug?
Steinbrecher,
thank you. Vielen Dank, and Steinbrecher, and also Marcia Rogers asked that we pray for the Tatum and Rogers family. Marcia's father passed away last Monday, so we pray for the Rogers family and the Tatum family as they mourn. And then also Doug asked us that we pray for Carl Thomas, who is recovering from a brain aneurysm as well, so we pray for him as well this day. The Lord be with you. And of course, we're going to pray for Rowdy Paul Shesby, a prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace that is from above and for the well-being of the churches of Christ and the godly unity of Christendom, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for those who in faith, piety, and the fear of God offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. For Matthew and Eric, our shepherds and bishops in Christ, for all pastors and teachers and all people, let us pray to the Lord. For our nation, all our people, for Joe, our president, and the Congress of the United States, for Kay, the governor of Alabama, and also for the governor of Mississippi, we pray for the legislatures of both states, we pray for the judges and magistrates of both states, and we pray that all who serve you in public office will also be blessed in their service. In your name, O Christ, we pray to the Lord. For the sick and the sorrowing, for those who mourn, for the needy and distress, for those who are homebound and the infirm, especially we pray this day for Alice and Richard. We pray, for Alice and the Tatum family. We pray for Joyce and Mary, for Mark and Eddie, for Norma and Kim and Suzette. We pray for Janine, and we pray for Sugar. We pray for Brooke. We pray for Janice and Haley and Taylor And Melissa and Tara, Melissa and Bonnie, Gray and Bob, Martha and Meredith, James and George, for Larry, Dean and Earl, Suzette and Bob, Mallory and Mark, Hank and Jay, Tracy and Michelle, Carl and Karen, for Jimmy and Tina, Ainsley and Kevin, Ron and Jesse, Ralph and Theo, for Easton and Waylon and Ryan. And we pray for the families of our parish who mourn. We pray for the Tatum and Rogers family. We pray also for the Faust and Callie's family, the Todd family, the Bolton and Grice families, the Heil family, and the Bolton Davis families. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for those serving in our armed forces, especially Riley, Paul, Hayden, and Paul. And we pray for all of our university students, including Minnie, Aiden, Jacob, Kelsey, and Mia. We pray, Heavenly Father, also for those to whom death is drawing near and for us all, that when our last hour shall come, we may depart this life in the confidence of the sure faith, the consolation of a right, devout, and holy hope, and in the communion of Christ's holy church. Let us pray to the Lord. Recalling those who've gone before us in the faith and rejoicing to share with them the Sabbath rest which Christ has won for his people, that together with them we may be found faithful in the day of judgment and rejoice in the day of the resurrection of the dead. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray especially this day for those who are sick. Especially we pray for Carl, and we pray also for Becca. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would look down from heaven, behold, relieve, and visit thy servants, both Becca and Carl, for whom we offer up our supplications. Look upon them with the eyes of thy mercy and give them comfort and confidence in thee. Defend them from the dangers of the enemy and keep them in perpetual safety and peace through the merits of Jesus Christ, thy Son, O Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And we also pray for the Tatum and Rogers family as they mourn the death of Marcia's father. Have compassion, O Lord, upon all who mourn, and upon all who are lonely and desolate. Be thou their comforter and friend. And we pray that you would give such solace to those who mourn the death both of Richard Tatum and also those who mourn the death of Doris Callies, that you would be thou their comforter and friend, that you would give unto them such earthly solace as thou seekest to be best for them and bring them to a fuller knowledge of thy love and wipe away all their tears for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And finally, we pray for Rowdy Paul Chesby. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you this day that you have redeemed and washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, Rowdy Paul Chesby. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with Rowdy during his life and sojourn upon this earth. And whether the time for him is short or the time for him is long, we pray that you will go with him and be with him, that your angels will protect him from harm, and that he will be raised in your fear and admonition, and that you will use his life both for the help of neighbor and also for service to you. We ask this in Jesus' name, who lives and reigns with you, Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.